Please stand as you are able to hear the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Before I jump into the verses, I want to recap what has just happened right before this reading starts. The wise men see a star that's rising and eventually make their way to King Herod, and they ask the question, where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage. So King Herod gets mad. He asks them to go and find this child. They find Jesus as a child, we think two or under, and they place gold, frankincense, and myrrh as gifts to the toddler Jesus. But then they are warned in a dream not to tell Herod where Jesus is. Now, after the wise men had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because there are no more. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who are seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in the place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene. This is the gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts help us to live and love like you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Merry Christmas. Actually, merry fifth day of Christmas. Our Christmas season here at the church continues even if trees are being cleaned up already and Christmas music is off. Historically, the Christmas season is from Christmas Day to January 6th, which is Epiphany. And there's so many wonderful stories of Christmas. We know the story of the sheep and the shepherds and the angels coming from on high singing glory to God in the highest. We know the shepherd's journey to finding the baby Jesus laying in a manger as they kneel and worship this newborn king. And we love the story of the wise men with their gold and frankincense and myrrh. These are wonderful stories. Although the story of the wise men takes a turn for the worse in a surprising way. Now, the writer of the Gospel of Matthew wakes us up to the reality of the day and what Jesus' presence in this world means. It is such a quick and drastic change from how we want to think about Christmas, but it brings in real life, right? The joy and the uncertainty. All of a sudden, this story turns ugly, and we often forget that this is still the Christmas season, because we want to focus on Christmas being Christmas Eve, right? With the peaceful gentleness of the moment that it seems like the world stops as we lift our candles and sing Silent Night. We sing to the newborn king, but it turns ugly. And it all starts with this character, Herod. Herod the Great is what they called him, but maybe better yet should be Herod the murderer, who became incredibly jealous of this king that was born, the one that the wise men told him about, and then refused to tell Herod who and where this child was. Now, I'm going to stop here because I think that Herod is an interesting and intriguing character in the Bible, but we don't learn much about Herod from our scripture. Instead, if we turn to a Jewish historian named Josephus, we get to find out more, in great detail, of Herod the Great's reign. And we know from reading that he was an insanely jealous person. He wanted the power and control of the world at any cost. He was about 66 years old when Jesus was born, and he was half Jewish and half Gentile. He reigned under Caesar Augustus when he was in power. Herod the Great, he was called great because of the large empire that he created. But he did it in incredibly cruel ways. As soon as he was appointed by Caesar Augustus, Herod assassinated the whole Jewish Supreme Court, basically, that we call the Sanhedrin. Every single member. He took 300 more leaders out of Jerusalem and had all of them slaughtered. He wanted to make sure that everybody knew that he was the boss, that he was in charge. But we also call him Herod the Great because he was a builder. Herod, being half Jewish, built this magnificent Jewish temple that towered 70 feet high. So when Jesus was in the temple turning over the money-changing tables, he was in the temple that Herod the Great had built. And so you have on one hand this incredibly violent man, but yet on the other hand, he was sometimes generous to his people. There was a large famine in the area, and the stories go that he melted down some plates of gold from his own treasury to pay for food so that the Jewish people would not starve. But I think the most interesting part of Herod the Great's story is when this insanely jealous streak turned to his very own family. He had 15 children and 10 sons, and as his 10 sons grew up and became men, they were destined to become a king or kings. Herod obviously did not trust his sons, and he accused two of them with treason, and so two were sent back to Rome, put on trial, and were assassinated. And then 5 days before he died, he executed yet another one of his sons. On the day that Herod died, he had arranged a large number of people to be rounded up in Jerusalem and executed as well. Herod knew that there would be no mourners for him at his death. So, because of the numerous executions, he knew on the day he died, people would wail and cry as well. So it really isn't a far stretch, and we shouldn't be surprised that this King Herod hears the wise men and what they say of another, the King of the Jews being born, this star that told this king's story, and Herod decides to murder all the babies two and under. The mothers began to wail in pain, And in one moment in the church year, we hear the beauty of the song from the angels. And the very next moment, we hear the wailing sounds of mothers whose children were killed by soldiers. They were definitely uncertain times. Jesus' presence in the world meant something. But our gospel reminds us that God provides protection in uncertain times as well. God demonstrated God's loving care in this uncertain time, and this story from Matthew confronts us with the harsh reality of life. And it has all the key characters and the juicy plot twists to make the best action-packed movie that we have ever seen. Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus, has this dream, this vision. Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt. Remain there until I tell you, for Herod is searching for this child to destroy him. So in the middle of the night, fleeing a war-torn destruction and devastation that was to come, Joseph, Mary, and Jesus left. Now they were there for about 2 years, and by then the cruel, horrific, and insane Herod finally died. Right around the time that they'd finally got settled into their new home, they learned the culture, they learned the language, they learned the climate, Joseph has another dream. Get up, take your child and his mother, and go back to the land of Israel. For the one that was seeking the life of this child, he's dead. It might have been safe, but Joseph didn't like the looks of that new ruler. He was Herod's son. And so he resettled his family in the town of Nazareth. It was a town that wasn't highly thought of. We remember in the Bible where it quotes, "What good can come out of Nazareth?" This is what the people thought of that place. So Joseph decided it was the best place for them to hide, to raise his family, and to start new yet again. The whole story of the first Christmas starts off so beautifully, but ends so ugly. And that's just the way of life as well. Life is going along so smoothly, and suddenly life turns on a dime and it becomes uncertain, unbearable. My husband has a degree in emergency management, and while he was in college, he had to go to different businesses like childcare centers and churches and animal shelters and even the city of West Fargo to do what they call a gap analysis or a vulnerability plan. After hearing from the place of business that he would go to and checking out the facilities and how the place was staffed, he would sit down with some of the key employees. One of the first questions he would ask as they sat down was this: thinking about the business, what keeps you up at night? This would tell him a lot about where they thought their own vulnerabilities were, but in a roundabout way. It's a deep yet simple question. What keeps you up at night? Now, that's easy for me, my kids. Not just because they wake up in the middle of the night, but if I ever thought I was anxious about raising children, making sure it was the right way and they turn out to be good human beings in this world, I can't even begin to imagine the immense amount of uncertainty and questions that came from raising this Christ child, Emmanuel, God with us. That's enough to keep Joseph and Mary up at night. I can't even imagine the fear and the love, the uncertainty and the joy that Joseph and Mary experienced. But through it all, God was faithful. The loss of the innocent children was overwhelmingly cruel, a dark, dark place in history. But in the midst of it, we can still see a more hopeful vision of God protecting the Savior of the world from all of it. Think about it. Emmanuel, God with us, wouldn't really mean all that much if it was only God with us during the tender, peaceful, gentle moments in life, during the celebration, during the Christmas Eve services of our lives. Yes, those moments of joys are gifts from God, and it's right to give God thanks for them. But if we're glad that God is with us in our rejoicing, we're anxious to know that God is also with us in our times of grief, of loss, and of fear. Yes, this reading is really tough to hear 5 days after the celebration of Christmas. But for that same exact reason, it's important for us to hear. And Matthew goes even further because for God is not only with us, God is also for us, promising to bring us through difficult times to the other side, maybe not unscratched, nevertheless still victorious. Our gospel today reminds us that Jesus is the fulfillment of the promises that the prophets preached for centuries before his birth, demonstrating that even the darkest portions of Jesus' story turn within a larger narrative of God's loving care and protection. Now, this isn't to say that all these events are simply part of some large, if rather dark plan, but rather to remind us that nothing that happens to Jesus or to us is beyond the bounds of God's love and can and will be redeemed by God. God is with us, even in the absolute darkest times, and God is for us, promising not only to accompany us through those difficult times, but also to bring us to the other side, that in time we might know Christ's joy and fullness to the max. So maybe, just maybe, this gospel for today makes perfect sense in our Christmas story because it speaks so clearly to the pattern of everyday life. God has come in the most helpless way possible through the life of a newborn baby and a child that needs to be loved and protected and cared for by a broken humanity. Mary and Joseph did their job no matter how difficult it was, not because they knew the best, but because they trusted God to lead and guide them. We too are called to trust God to lead and to guide us in good times, times of celebration and joy, but in also in difficult times, times of uncertainty and fear. And we are able to do this because of how God has loved us and cared for us through all of the ages. God is with us in the times that we celebrate and in the times of uncertainty, when we can't see the bigger picture of life. God is with us. Emmanuel. God has come. Emmanuel. And God is here now in our midst. Emmanuel. Amen.